This is Central Time. If calling something trivial means it doesn't have a lot of value, then why do we feel so good when we come up with an answer to a trivia question? Why do trivia board games like Trivial Pursuit and others have such appeal? And why would a group of college students stay up for 50 hours like they did last weekend managing a massive trivia contest? We're going to get some answers. First, we're going to talk about the 59th edition of the student-run Great Midwest Trivia Contest at Lawrence University. Then we'll pivot to Point and hear from the guy who is trivia master of the world's largest trivia contest from WWSP 90 FM in Stevens Point for more than four decades. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you like about trivia games? Were you a Trivial Pursuit person back in the day? Do you do some kind of bar trivia now? Have you participated in either the Lawrence contest or Points, maybe both? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Maddie Guest is a fifth-year senior at Lawrence University and head trivia master emeritus for the Great Midwest Trivia Contest. Maddie, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For people who haven't participated, give us a rundown on how the Lawrence Trivia Contest works.
Of course. It is a 50-hour contest. We call it continuous every year because the first question of the contest is always the last question of the last contest. And calling it trivia might not be the most accurate word for it because it's really a 50-hour internet scavenger hunt. So you get a question, you get 3 minutes to find the answer, and the answers take you through all weird, wacky places of the internet, and then you call in with the answer, and everyone who gets it right gets 5 points, and that's how the hours go for 50 hours in the last weekend in January.
Now, do people usually play this as individuals, or they join up in teams?
Usually in teams. Occasionally, people will play as individuals if they want to pop in for an hour or two, and that's totally great and cool. We love it when people do that. But we've had teams that have 50-plus people on them that have played for years. So usually, you're usually more successful when there's more than one person playing.
Can you give us a sense of some of the kinds of questions or maybe categories of questions people might have to tackle?
Absolutely. There were several theme hours this year, including FNAF Hour, Tractor Hour, Bird Hour, Coffee Hour, just some fun hours with fun questions. And let me find a question for you.
Oh, sure.
Let's
I'll be on the spot.
If you could answer it without looking it up, I'd be surprised. But for example, there is a question I wrote that goes, it is not IHOP, it's IHOSAW. What is the fourth item on their breakfast menu and what's its description? And the answer to that is the number of the beast, and the description is 6 waffles, 6 eggs, 6 links of sausage, or 6 strips of bacon, a meal fit for the devil himself.
Oh, I had it. You didn't give me a chance to answer. Okay, no, I didn't really know it. Now, how did you get involved in helping run this and writing questions for it and all the behind-the-scenes stuff?
Yeah, so my parents mentioned it when I first started going to school here, and when it was coming up, I got my friends together to make a team, and then I had someone who was in a show with me offer for us to join their team. So we holed up in the Plants basement, which is a dorm here on campus, and did the contest for all 50 hours, taking sleep breaks, doing all the stuff. And then the next year they had graduated. So my team went again. Even during COVID, we holed up in the campus center in one of the rooms with snacks and the recording playing on the big screen, answered questions. And then I got an email the next year asking, hey, would you be interested in being a trivia master? And I was like, I mean, why not? I see no reason why not. I auditioned, and here we are.
When you're actually working on it, do you have to stay up all 50 hours, or do you get sleep breaks even when you're
one
of the masters?
Breaks.
Okay.
So everyone gets 1 5-hour sleep break and 1 6-hour sleep break. But aside from that, those are scheduled, and aside from that, you are basically working the whole contest. Of course, people can take 15 minutes, 20 minutes if they need a breather, and we have food supplied to us. But, someone had their sleep break as late as 1 p.m. this year, their first one on Saturday. So you're staying up a lot.
Can you give us a little bit of the backstory of how this event came to be in the first place?
Yeah, well, I wish I knew how it first started, but it has been running for 59 years. And when it first started up, it was just a radio contest. I say just a radio contest, but it was not live streamed on Twitch. And the questions were more like your average trivia. And there have been teams playing since then who said that they would, you know, search through encyclopedias or anything they could find in their rooms to try and find answers to these questions. But then as the internet came about, those questions became a lot easier. So it became more of knowledge that there's no way that you could know without looking it up already. tricky questions, scavenger hunt questions, finding fun places on the internet to land and call in your answer.
And Maddie, before I let you go, you're a senior at Lawrence. After you graduate, do you think you're still going to try to form teams and play in the trivia contest?
Oh, for sure. I already have a couple of teams that have reached out to me asking if I wanted to play with them, and I'm deciding if I'm going to play with them or make my own team, but trivia is going to be part of my life for a long time.
We'll see what happens on draft day. Maddie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Maddie Guest, fifth-year senior at Lawrence University. We talked with her about the Great Midwest Trivia Contest at Lawrence, which she helped run as head trivia master this last weekend. Coming up, we move over to Stevens Point and learn more about their world's largest trivia contest coming up later, just in a couple months. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you participated in the Stevens Point Trivia Contest or that one at Lawrence or other big events like that? Do you do trivia in other forms, board games, maybe the bar trivia that all the kids are into these days? Or maybe you just like to impress people with your knowledge of trivial facts. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about trivia in Wisconsin and big trivia contest. Jim Oliva joins us now, DJ at WWSP in Stevens Point, 90 FM. He was trivia master of the 90 FM world's largest trivia contest for 43 years. Still has a role in putting it on each year. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you've been on a team for that contest or you're a trivia fan in general. 800-642-1234 is the number. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for calling. I really, really appreciate it. Like I told him earlier, I said, you know, I'm not writing it anymore. I'm just working with coordinating it. And they said, yeah, but how long did you write it? I said, 43 years. So they said, okay, well, we're going to talk to you. I said, okay.
That's awesome. Now, for people who haven't participated or heard it, run us through how the world's largest trivia contest works.
It's 54 hours. It begins at 6 o'clock Friday night, April 12th this year, and runs till midnight Sunday. During the contest, there's 8 questions per hour, and you get the length of 2 songs to call in your answer. And the contest is a media-based contest. So anything that's printed or on the air, whether it be radio or television, books, magazines, anything like that is fair game.
When I first moved to Wisconsin and to Madison, Jim, my first circle of friends were a bunch of people who had lived in Point or gone to UWSP. They were on a trivia team, and you and the trivia contest are a legend. Can you just talk about the commitment of the people who play this game? Because they would talk at length about their strategies and their teamwork and how they split things up. Tell us a little bit about the people who connect to this game.
Yeah, it's amazing. There are teams that have been playing all 54 years. There are teams that, you know, they just keep coming back and coming back. And we just had this past summer, one of the long-term players passed away, and her team, is just, they're all geared up for this year. They want to dedicate this to her. And, there's one player who has said that if somebody offered her a trip around the world, all expenses paid, and it was trivia weekend, she wouldn't go.
Let's bring out a caller at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Madison. Mary, hi.
Hi, I'm thrilled that you have the Great Oz on your show.
Oh,
as Jim Oliva is known, the Great Oz. I've been, my team has been playing in the Stevens Point Trivia Contest since 1972. Oh, our team is the Village Idiots.
The Village Idiots, you bet.
Yeah, the Village Idiots. And boy, I remember the beginning of trivia before in the pre-internet era is when it was really, for us, the most fun. You had to either know it or know somebody who knew it or knew who to call who might know it.
Oh, I know, right.
A book that people were frantically paging through trying to find the answer. And it hooked me on trivia. I have been a trivia nut ever since. We still play bar trivia every week here in Madison under the same name, Village Idiots.
Awesome,
Village
Mary. Idiots. Well, good luck to you and the Village Idiots. Now, Jim, that brings up a question. How did the game evolve as the internet came to be a thing where people would look to find answers?
Well, you know, we would get questions out of books and out of magazines and out of watching TV, watching movies, getting notes, taking notes on commercials, because commercials are part of media. And we would ask simple questions, you know, who were the landlords of Lucy and Ricky Ricardo? You know,
Fred and Ethel Mertz, were they the landlords?
Yeah, they were the landlords.
Boom.
Fred and Ethel Mertz. Yep, they owned the building. And then you get to years later, like in the early 2000s, and there was a question that I asked. And the question was, what is the occupation of big screen character Ern Burke? And nobody got it.
Oh, I don't know that one.
And it's from the movie The Magnificent Seven. At the beginning of the movie, when Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen are riding along with the hearse, and they're going along, and the camera's panning them as they go by, and there it is, Ern Burke, blacksmith.
Wow. And can you find that on the internet? I don't know.
No, you sure can't.
That's awesome.
And, you know, there was, you know, over the years, people have said to me, they say, you know, you're insane. You are absolutely insane. You're ridiculous. You take all these notes. It's ridiculous. And one year, and this is back a ways, I asked, what is the name of the production that was presented by the Larry Storch School of Acting that was presented in Surround Storch?
It's Give 'Em Hell, Larry.
No.
No. Oh, I thought it was from SCTV. Okay.
No, it was from it was from Married with Children.
Oh.
And the daughter was in an acting class there, and they were presenting their production, and it was Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
So I thought this was a really great question, really hard question, that only, you know, and people would go around and say, oh, you're insane. You come up with these things. How do you watch this stuff and come up with these? And that year, 48 teams got it right.
Wow.
And at the end of the contest, I said, so 48 teams got this right. Now, I want to know who's insane. Really, it's just so much fun. It really is. And teams come back every year. Teams that are, you know, anywhere from the smallest team we've ever had is one player. The largest team that I've ever seen register was 400 players.
Wow. That seems like it'd be hard to, like, arrive at consensus on an answer. That might be too many people.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. You know, typically 35 to 50 is a normal team.
Now, do you go out and compete in trivia in some other way, like playing a board game or a bar trivia yourself? Do you put yourself to the test ever?
No, I'm too stupid. I don't know anything. I mean, you know, I do go out and play because I have friends, and I go out and play with the friends, and And every once in a while, I'll be able to get an answer. But for the most part, I don't. I take notes.
Oh, I should ask.
Before
we run out of time, what do people win, the team that wins the trivia contest?
Oh, a trophy.
Okay.
Top 10. The top 10 teams get a trophy. And the team that ends up in the place of the year of the contest. So this year it'll be 54th place.
Awesome. Now,
and you would not believe people in 53rd to 56th place, how they jockey around answering or not answering so they can get into 54th place so they can come and get a trophy. It's really quite funny to watch these people, how they strategize on how they're going to get in 54th place.
Jim, we'll leave it there. The Great Oz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. And let's stay very superstitious about this year's contest.
That's Jim Oliva, DJ at WWSP in Stevens Point. That's a 90 FM, longtime trivia master for the station's 90 FM trivia contest. He's still working on that contest coming up, as he mentioned, in April 14th, 15th, and 16th.